Good morning, church.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Reading from 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
But this, Morning. Today I'm speaking on spiritual gifts. A few months ago, when I was preparing for this session and this sharing, I was wondering whether I should be the one talking about spiritual gifts. You know, there are many people who are using their gifts in a very significant way in the church and in the world. I read about a Singaporean couple who was going to, they went to war-torn countries to help build houses for these people whose house were torn down by the bombs and the war. And they were there to support the physical needs of the people and to share the love of Jesus. I interacted with some other people in church who are serving in the healing ministry, and they will go and sit with people in a hospital. And sometimes those who are in need will call them at 2 a.m. and they will be there. And the next morning, they will go to work. So in that period, I was quite disturbed, and rather quite discouraged that, who am I to be here? You know, these are the people that ought to be here. There are many stories to tell to teach on this whole area of spiritual gift. You know, I have not much stories to tell, but here I am having to share with you about spiritual gift. What about you? Are there questions and concerns for yourself? Wondering, do I have a gift? What is my gift? How do I look at my gift? Your questions may be different from my questions, but there's an area that concerns all of us. No, as I read 1 Corinthians 12, the church in Corinth also have a problem and some errors in their thinking about gifts. And Paul had to send wrote a letter of Corinthians to help them to correct some of these errors. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 2. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters in Corinth, I do not want you to be uninformed, that there was something they don't know. There's something that they were not informed about, the gifts. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. You know, the Corinth culture and pagan worship influenced them and led them astray to a different way of looking at spiritual gift. we also live in a culture that can has a very strong influence over us and can lead us into wrong thinking about spiritual gifts too. So what were the Corinthians misinformed about? You know, in Corinth, the people prized status, eloquence, public recognition, and displays of power, very much like our society nowadays, or those who are, who have done great things are elevated. In that culture, these are the signs of maturity and achievement. So they see some of the more dramatic gifts, prophecy, healing, tongues, as greater gifts than others. Instead of seeing gifts as God's grace for serving others, many Corinthians treat them as markers of spiritual maturity or importance. Paul saw the problem, and wrote the letter of Corinthians to help them recognize their errors. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us with wisdom and understanding as we explore your words and reflect on this area of our spiritual gifts. So, Lord, we have many questions that is on our mind and upon our heart, and we look to you that your word will speak to us and allow us to understand you. May you hide me behind the cross and allow the Holy Spirit to be manifested in our presence, and that we may be able to draw near to you and learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As I read through 1 Corinthians 12, the verse that stands out to me is 1 Corinthians 12, 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It is a verse that I think encapsulates many of the thoughts that that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 12. And there are three focus here. Now to each one, we're talking about the individual. The manifestation of the Spirit, we talk about the Spirit who is the giver of this gift. And it is given for the common good about the community itself. So it has a very outward focus that the gifts given to each of us is for the manifestation of the Spirit and for the common good. You know, in the secular culture that we live in, we are easily influenced to think along a more self-focused interpretation of our gifts. Yeah. So how do we look at gifts? Simply we just divide into black and white, And there's a secular view and a biblical view. You know, the secular view, we are focused on status, public display and personal recognition. They view gifts as markers of self-worth and individual maturity. Yeah, we are in a culture that is more concerned about self-image, self-esteem, personal worth and personal fulfillment. But in contrast, the biblical view, we see that gifts are given by God's grace to serve others. They exist to reveal the Holy Spirit and to strengthen the entire body of Christ. So let me share these three aspects of spiritual gifts. The first one is now to each one. You know, there's a universal distribution that every believer is entrusted with a spiritual gift. Though in this verse, Paul didn't say that, to each one the manifestation of Spirit, he didn't say that to each one is given a gift. But we know that he's talking about the giving of gifts, because in verse 8 onwards, he starts to mention and list all the different gifts. And if you read the verse 7 in context, verse 8 downwards, he says, to one that is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And he went on to list all the different gifts. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributed them to each one just as he determines. You know, each one is given a gift. That's what Paul says. You have a gift, even if you don't feel that you have it, or even if you can't name it. You know, there are different needs, and the Spirit gives different gifts for the need at hand. If the Spirit gives us a gift, there is likely a work to be done. It is likely there are some work that you are gifted to do. And if you don't do it, it could be left undone. We know there are a diversity of gifts. We know that each one is given a gift. And if we are all given a gift, then some questions start to come form in our mind. Of course, one of the questions is, how do I discover my gift? How do I know what gift I have? I can't name it, and maybe I think I don't have any. So how do I discover my gift? It's very interesting that Paul covers quite a few areas about spiritual gifts. He says, he tells us about who is it from? It's from the Spirit. He tells us about who are some of the gifts. There's a list in Romans, in Ephesians, and in Corinthians. And he tells us what is the purpose, for the common good of the body. But in all of Scripture, it is silent, totally silent, about how to discover our gifts. He tells us there are gifts, these are the gifts, but he never tells us, how do I find out my gifts? But Paul's emphasis is on using the gifts properly and using it to serve. And often gifts are recognized by the community rather than discovered by myself, that I sit down and say, okay, now I know my gifts. But I thought that this is an area that is a bit practical for us, and I try to share some practical pointers from Timothy Keller on this area of discovering a gift. There is nothing theological, there are just practical common sense guidelines that he gives. So he says that that there are three paths that we take in discovering our gift. First, there is the opportunity. We ask what doors has God opened? Where are the immediate needs that are around you that you can serve in? And then secondly, there is the affinity, your heart. What draws your heart? What is the burden of your heart? What ministries or people do you joyfully care for? Then there's the ability. Can you do it? No? Where is their fruitfulness? What do others affirm you in your service? Most gifts are discovered while taking up the opportunity to use it. But how do you tell whether you may want to go and serve and you serve and then how do you tell whether you are good at it? And whether it is an ability that God has blessed you with. Often it is the community that recognize and affirm your gifting and ability. The example of Barnabas in the book of Acts. Barnabas was called Joseph. He was called Joseph. That was his original name. That was his name, Joseph. And he did not call himself Barnabas. He didn't wake up one day and say, I have words of encouragement. Now I am Barnabas. He did not call himself Barnabas, which means a sense of encouragement. It was the apostles who saw what he was good at, and they called him Barnabas. Acts 4:36. Joseph, a Levite, his name was Joseph. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means a son of encouragement. Gifts are often recognized by the community while serving rather than sitting back and searching in isolation. Most times we even serve without knowing what is our gift, and that is fine, I think. I know of someone who has been very involved in the volunteer ministry in the nursing home. In fact, right before it was a nursing home, when it was PSW, she has a burden to minister to those residents and the staff that are there. And she has been working with many people, and up to today, volunteering and ministering in the nursing home. And so she heard that I was supposed to preach on spiritual gifts. So she came to ask me, now that you learn all about spiritual gifts, what do you think is my spiritual gifts? So stressful, right? You had to prepare. I can't really pinpoint so clearly. I was looking through all the lists. I can't find a volunteer gift. I can't find a gift of gerontology, ministering to the elderly, but there are many other gifts that fits, maybe a gift of mercy, gift of administration, of leadership, of hospitality. So she has a gift, but she haven't been able to pinpoint and name it, but she has been using it to be a blessing to many people. And the point is that she can't name it, but God has she has been using what God has placed in her hand for the common good and for many years now. Most gifts are discovered retrospectively. You do it, then you realize, God has blessed me with gifting and ability in this area. No, we don't go and sit down and meditate and wait on God. Say, God, you tell me my gift, then I will go and use that gift and serve you. You know, my son told me, no footballer ever discovered he's a good footballer by watching football games from the stadium. Yeah, most of us discover our gifts are serving. So I'm trying to think back, you know, how do I end up teaching and preaching here? When I was in medical school, I was mentored in by the Navigators. They teach us to study the Bible, read the context, and then study the Greek word and use concordance and all those. And I find that I quite enjoy it, even preparing. So I was doing Bible study with different people. And then in my church, there was someone, one of my friends said that they don't have enough Sunday school teachers. So they said, can you help out? So I help out. I did some, I think 1-2 years of Sunday school with the police and the, and JC students. Then I came to this church and then I'm involved in cell, and then occasionally I have to teach, lead the cell work time. And I have the opportunity. I have many opportunities to teach and to share. And I have the affinity, you know, I really enjoy doing this, I enjoy studying and reading and trying to, sieve out, you know, what is the lesson for us. But my question myself is, do I have the ability, you know, am I good at this? I may enjoy it, but maybe, I'm not sure, yeah. And my latest, assignment was to teach Lamentations in Know the Word. And I taught for 6 hours. You know, there was 3 lessons, 2 hours each. And, and after the 6 hours of teaching, one of the ladies so kindly came up to me to encourage me. He said, thank you for the lesson. You know, I did not sleep at all in all the 6 hours. I don't know, but you have been speaking 6 hours. It's a big encouragement. To me, it is a miracle. You know, that if I can speak for 6 hours, you know, and one person didn't fall asleep. Wow, to me, that is fantastic. So I thank God for the encouragement. And maybe that's why they let me preach here. You know, it's peak 6 hours, one person fall asleep, 30 minutes, quite safe. Quite safe. And also, most of us discover our gifts while serving and doing. But on the other hand, there are periods when we have to serve in areas that we think we are actually not our strength and our gifting, and sometimes we need to step in to fill the gap. My daughter is an occupational therapist. She's very good with children. All the children somehow get drawn to her. And right now she's helping with the special needs in the occupational therapy unit that she's working. But last year, the church has a senior chair activity exercise group. But the lady who has been leading it for several years is quite senior, and she felt that she can't do it anymore. So she asked my daughter, can you help to do this for the seniors? There are about 40, 50. And they come from the church, they come from the surrounding, and then they come about once a week to do 1 hour of chair exercise. So my daughter thought about it, and she said, okay, she will take 1 hour from her off day to do this chair exercise. I knew it was very stressful for her, because she tell me, you know, I don't have experience in this, and then I have to go and watch a YouTube video on one exercise to do. But you know, one exercise only lasts 2 minutes, so, and then I have 45 minutes, so there are many exercises I have to create, you know, each round. But she did 1 year, and she finished 1 year, and another lady stepped in, to take over. And I asked her at the end of it, so is this, have you discovered that this is your gifting? She said, no, it was not my gifting. Yeah, it was very stressful for her. And actually now she's back in helping the children. I think the point here is that sometimes we may be caught to do things that we don't think it really is our gift, but we step in to fill the gap. Each one has been given the Spirit, and each one has a gift that God wants us to use. And in the diversity of gifts, God is forming an orchestra that can make beautiful music if they all play together. The first focus is on each one. The second focus is on the Spirit. It is giver-centered. And using our gifts reveals the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is significant that Paul wrote, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common. He did not say the manifestation of the gift is for the common good. Paul used this phrasing because there was an issue that he's addressing in the Corinthian church. The church was very focused on who has the better and more impressive gift. Paul wants to move them away from seeing just the gifts and comparing their gifts to recognize the giver. Paul wants the Corinthians to remember that the focus is not the gift. The focus is the Spirit that behind the gift and what the Spirit wants to accomplish. When we use our gift, it is not a manifestation of our gift, it is a manifestation of the Spirit's grace and focus. Yeah, I think even standing here to preach, it is certainly not my comfort level. I'm very comfortable speaking to one-on-one. One to four is already a crowd in my clinic. So to speak to this, it's certainly, I have been anxious all the way, you know, but it is by the grace of God that, I'm able to share some of the things I'm learning. So the focus is on the giver. No, we do not display our gifts to showcase a personal talent or capability. When we serve faithfully, we manifest the Holy Spirit's grace, power, and presence in our church. So, John Piper talks about, but this manifestation of the Spirit, he said, a manifestation is a showing. When you manifest something, you bring it to light. You put forward for people to see. And when you use your gift, people see the Spirit behind it. We manifest the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Often when we talk about spiritual gifts, we are focused on the gift and not the giver. We want to understand and study each gift, you know, which one, what does this mean? We have to discover our gift. But for Paul, the focus is the Spirit, the giver of gift. God does not give us gifts for display. Someone said, gifts are not badges of honor for display of our greatness. They are blessings of the Holy Spirit for display of His grace. He does not give gifts to make us stand up. He does not give us gifts to make us special. He gives us gifts that we can reveal Him to community and use it for the common good. I like what John MacArthur says. He says, the Holy Spirit does not give gifts to make us extraordinary people, but to enable ordinary people to serve Christ extraordinarily well. To serve Christ extraordinarily well. So we have talked about the first focus is on each one. Then the second focus is on the manifestation of the Spirit. The third focus is for the common good. So the question is, what does the common good refer to? What does it mean, the common good? Why is this common? I tell you a story. I fully maybe shed some light and understanding. You know, I cannot sing, and I was told I'm tone deaf, although I don't believe them. But I enjoy vocal music, you know, and I appreciate beautiful voices, and I always want to learn to sing. So one day, I told my family, you know, the worship team, They don't have enough male singers. So maybe I can learn, I can join the worship team, I can learn and improve and maybe overcome my tone deafness. And they all look at each other and then they look at me. And basically they all agree, I think this is not for the common good. This is from my family. And so if you laugh, then I presume you know what does the common good refers to. You know, common good points to the body, which is the common focus for which our gifts are given. Each one in diversity of their gifts manifests the one Spirit for the good of the one body. John Piper said, the Spirit is manifested for this purpose, for the common good. The Spirit does not give gifts and ministry so we can boast in our spiritual prowess. It gives gifts and ministry for two reasons. to manifest himself and to help us to do good to each other in the church. Gifts are for the glory of God and for the good of the church. Spiritual gifts are not marks of maturity. They are tools for ministry, a ministry for the needs of the body. We are many parts. All parts are different, but we are one body. When one part uses its gifting, it impacts the others. But when one part is missing, it affects the others too. Paul emphasizes in the earlier verse that each one is given a gift, but here his emphasis is on the common purpose of this gift, to manifest the Spirit and for the common good of the body. We are one body because we all have one Spirit. We may be different with different gifts and different areas of service, different work God has placed in our hands, but we are one body. You know, every cell in a body, there's something that is common through every cell in the body, or almost every cell. That though they are different and serve different functions, they all have the same DNA. And like us, part of the body, though we are different, we have the same spiritual DNA, the same Spirit that gives us different gifts. We have different gifts, but we all manifest the same Spirit. You are the part of this body of Christ. And the question now is that if we are so diverse, so many, everyone with different gifts, how do we come together and serve the common good? How do we be united for the common good?
Yeah.
So So Paul uses the body picture in 1 Corinthians, in the rest of the chapter, 1 Corinthians 12:12. He says that just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is in Christ. So Paul wants us to see that there is a body picture. The church is like a body. And you see in this verse, the idea of forming one body. In the midst of diversity, we are one and united. And so it is imperative that we remember that though we may be different parts of the body, but we are one body. You know, the word one is the most repeated word in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you read through, you look one, that it is everywhere. And there are 19 ones in 31 verses, which is more than every other verse. So the idea of us being one is very central and very critical in this whole area of expressing our gifts. So we need to recognize, we must see the body picture. But Paul also has to recognize the double danger. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, 15 and 20, it says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Or in verse 21, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. You know, the danger of looking at our spiritual gift are both two. On the one hand, the danger of thinking my gifts are so small, I'm just a foot. Well, everybody step on it. That my gifts are so small, I can't be of much use in the body. The foot says, I'm not a hand, so I don't belong to the body. Or those who think that I'm a ear, not as good as the eyes, so I can't be part of the body, I can't be of much use to the body. So this is one danger that we need to be aware and avoid. That whatever gift I've given to us individually, nothing is wasted, nothing is for is given without any purpose. But on the other hand, the other danger is that we think we are the most important part of the body. They don't need the rest. The eye saying to the hand, I don't need you. Without the hand, I can also see. And both errors are equally wrong and equally damaging to the body. Don't think your gift is too small. Neither should we think your gift is too big. So there's a need to have the body picture and the need to recognize the double danger. But there's also the need to realize that there is a needed mixture. We need to have a mixture. In 1 Corinthians 17, it says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Imagine whole body, just one eye. I think in cartoon you can see that, right? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed a part in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? It will be a disaster if we all have the same gift but God in His wisdom and foresight has placed in each of us gifts just as He wanted them to be, the right gift in the right person. There's a unity with the in our diversity. We are one interconnected body. No part is independent. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Every part is vital to the health, to the total health of the body. The church is meant to be like a potluck dinner. If everyone brings fried rice, it's a very disappointing potluck. If one brings dessert, another brings roast chicken, another vegetable, suddenly it's a feast. Spiritual gifts work the same way. Diversity enriches the whole church. That there's a mix that is needed, that we cannot all be the same. Yeah. So if we are all having diverse gifts, then how do we come together and combine to serve the common good? You know, a healthy believers come to the church with a spiritual hunger and ask, how can the church feed me? And rightly so, that we come here with needs that needed to be ministered to. But we should not stop there. Having been fed, we need to ask, how can I strengthen the body? We also ask, how can I contribute? How can I encourage? Whose burden can I care? Who can I carry? And we cannot just be a consumer, but we need to be a contributor too. But as we look at the different gifts, we recognize that we are more familiar with the more dramatic gift, the prophecy, the healing, the tongues. But listed within all these dramatic gifts, Paul also mentioned other gifts in the same sentence that he mentioned gifts of healing, gifts of helping, gifts of administrating, gifts of various type of tongue. So he mentions it within, together with healing, he mentions gifts of help, gifts of administration. If everybody can have the gift of help, you can help out in any way in the body of Christ. And the word gifts is translated from the Greek word charisma. That's how we talk about the charismatic movement, the charismatic gifts of tongues, of prophecy. But because Paul also says that he also used the same word for gifts of help, gifts of administration. And often we don't see, these are also charismatic gifts. The word charisma is grace. These are also gifts that is given by the grace of God. And so everyone, even helping, serving, hospitality, all these are charismatic gifts also. And so we recognize that there are different types of cells in the body, we know that. And the healthy body cells receive nourishment from the body and gives back by executing its specific duty to strengthen the whole organism. It's like the heart, it pumps, it receives nutrition, but it pumps the blood out to the whole body. It's like the blood in our body, it goes to the lung, it receives oxygen, but what does it do? It don't keep the oxygen, right? It goes around the whole body and distribute all the oxygen. Then it take all the carbon dioxide and bring back to the lung and release it. So in a healthy body, every cell has a role. Each cell receives nourishment, but it also gives, working for the good of the whole body. A heart cell pumps, a nerve cell sickness, an immune cell protects. However, there's a type of cell, the self-serving cell, that only consume and without contributing. There is a type of cell that lives for itself only. They take nutrients, they consume resources and multiply for themselves. These are real cells in the body. They multiply for themselves. They do not care about neighboring cells or the health of the whole. In the end, if left unchecked, they will harm the body because they attack everybody. And they harm the very body they belong to and ultimately also destroy themselves. And these cells are called cancer cells that we are familiar with. Healthy cells serve the body. Cancer cells serve themselves. We need to be careful what kind of cells we become. Let's all use the gift that God has given us to contribute to the common good of the body. Let us not leave the work to just a few. I was reading one commentary. I had to buy quite a few commentary, to prepare for this lesson. Maybe the church has some budget for this. Okay. Yeah, one of the commentary, it says, quite interestingly, it says that the problem with the church It's the same as the problem on the football field. There are 22 people on the football field who desperately need to rest. The others are running all over. But there are also 22,000 in the stadium who desperately need to exercise. Yeah, and so a lot of time we leave the work to only a few. You know, church should not be a ministry of the few, but ministry from the pew. That it is not just the few pastoral staff doing all the work, but from the pew, all of us are serving together. And let's use whatever gift God has placed in our hands and serve the common good. Yeah, I've learned much from this sermon, and I'm also encouraged to learn that the Spirit gives you to give to each one, that I've received a gift to, that though my gift may be not the same as others, maybe some others, the more dramatic gift that what I wish I have. But Scripture tells us there's no need to compare, because God gives different gifts to different people. And we use whatever gift He has given us, we receive it and use it for the common good. And in the process, manifest the Spirit in our lives and in the community. So in summary, the three focus, the one, now to each body, every believer has and is entrusted with a spiritual gift. And it is maybe in a sense our duty to go and explore and find opportunity and see what is the gift that God has given us. And now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit using gifts reveals the presence of the Holy Spirit. So don't hide it. When you hide your gift, you're hiding, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself in this place. And it is given for the common good. Gift exists to build up the church body, not for ourselves. There is a devotion that I hope some of you are familiar with, the Love Singapore 40 Days of Prayer. It's a beautiful devotion, and I think the focus is very much on community and oneness. And Benny Ho, in day 11, you can go and read the whole thing, it's very nicely written. But in day 11 of the devotion, I took this quote from him. The church cannot be all that God wants it to be until every member is doing what God equipped him or her to do. The church cannot be all that God wants it to be until every member is doing what God has equipped him or her to do. Imagine each of us, maybe 1,000 in our church, using their diverse gift to serve the body of Christ, that everybody is using their gift and serving and impacting. What would the SJHM village be like if everybody is involved in it? So may we hit the call and remember, you know, that each one of us, each one of you are given a gift, is given a gift. So just use it. And in the process, we manifest the Spirit when we use the gift, so don't hide it. And it is given for the body, for the common good. The body needs it. You know, we need one another. We need the gifts that each one of us have. And so important to recognize the ministry from the pew is not the ministry of the field. Not just in church, sometimes also we worry about cells where the ministry is only the cell leader. And so there's a place that cell members also have gifting and you can serve to bless the cell. And though I cannot sing, I still occasionally lead worship in cell. And they still come back after that. Yeah, each one has the gift, use it, no? Yeah, and bless the body with it. We close with a response song. This song is Making a Difference. And the first verse says that, Lord, take a look at our hands. You know, here the prayer is to ask God to take a look at our hands. I think equally important is to ask God to help us examine what He has put in our hands and use it for His plan. So we pass the time to Adele, the worship team. They are gifted by the Spirit and help us to see the manifestation of the Spirit in our midst and to serve our common good. Thank you.